I am glad that you're here today. Amen. You need to be here today. I need to be here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. We have a few announcements here. If you guys have your bullets, if you did not get a bullet, to make sure you let an usher know or grab one on the way out. But we have a women's conference coming up. We are having our own women's conference here at Living Hope Church. Amen. Hallelujah. It is going to be great. It's going to be exciting. There is a little card in your bulletin today. Y'all get one of those? All right. That card is for you to hand out. All right. Make sure you give that card to somebody that you know. Invite them to the women's conference coming up in March. It is going to be amazing. It is going to be a great time. Ladies, come. Ladies, come. Get filled up. Get encouraged. Get built up in the Lord. Amen. If you have any questions on that, please contact the office or talk to Amy. Wave your hand, Amy. All right, Miss Amy is right there. We have a bake sale coming up on the 25th for Refuge. Refuge is our youth group. Woohoo! We want to support our youth. We want to bless them. We want to support them, encourage them. Let them know that they are loved. Amen. They are supported. We need to do that. We need to do that with our kids, right? We need to support our kids, encourage our kids. Tell them that they're loved. Tell them that we believe in them. Tell them that we trust what God is doing in them. Amen? Build them up. Build them up. And so that's going to be on the 25th. If you would like to donate, we have sent out certain emails on CCB. If you want to donate, you can sign up to donate some bars or some cookies or some bread. Okay? Just as long as you don't have any nuts, we have allergies, and so we don't want to cause any problems. I know some people just love nuts in their fruitcake. But, exactly, Jesus still loves you even if you don't put nuts in your fruitcake. All right, so don't do that. All right, no nuts in the cookies, no nuts in the bars, no nuts in the breads that you guys drop off. But we appreciate your support. And then on the 25th, make sure you guys come hungry. All right, come hungry. We'll be selling in the Bruette Room before, and we'll be selling in the foyer afterwards. So we're going to come and support our youth. Amen? We have a prophetic conference, not a conference, but some prophetic classes coming up in March. Make sure you look at your bulletin. If you guys are interested in the prophetic, if you guys want to learn more about the prophetic and how it's supposed to function and work inside the body of Christ, we're going to have a three-part teaching on that starting in March before service. So it's going to be at 8:30 a.m. We're going to be meeting over in the family room, this family room over here. Fellowship Hall, I think it's called. Is that right, Teresa? All right. Thank you. The Fellowship Hall right back here before church. It's going to be three Sunday mornings. If you can't make all three, that's okay. You can come. All right? All right. CR, Mike Wilbert is going to be talking at CR this week. Where's Mike? Is Mike here today? No, he's not here today. We all knew Mike? Okay. All right. But Mike is going to be speaking at CR this week. And so come and show him support Thursday night. All right, it's going to be an awesome night. It's a great opportunity to come and fellowship and encourage one another, share with one another, right? We have Indian tacos, is that right? What? Hallelujah. We are here, right? Hallelujah. Indian tacos is going to be amazing. All right. So I think, Joe, you're going to come up and read the scriptures. All right, hallelujah.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, church. We're reading from the book of Matthew today, and we're going to navigate through it a little bit, so I will guide us along as we do that. Thank you, Jesus. Beginning with Matthew 9:35, where Jesus calls his disciples. Let's start there. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Moving to Matthew 10:5. These 12 disciples, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Moving to Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now a brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Moving to Matthew 26. Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. To verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word that speaks life into us, that gives us enlightenment as to more of who you are and who we are in you. So I pray as we continue your word and your servant brings it this morning, God, may it penetrate our hearts and move in us and through us, God. And may we put it to use for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you sit, I see a brother hiding here. If you would all extend your hands to my brother Scott, we're going to pray for him right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and we lift up our brother to you. You know all things. You know what he's battling, what he's fighting. It's impossible for us, but it's not impossible for you. We're praying for a complete healing and restoration of his body. So, Father, intervene in this situation. We lift him up to you. We lift his wife up to you. And we ask your hand to be upon them as they go through these days ahead. Let them know, let them know that you are with them every step of the way. I pray that you give them a vision of you that increases their faith in a whole new way. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Scott, you probably thought you were going to sneak in here like a ninja. Little people coming up to me, talking in my ear, saying, Scott is here. Scott is here. Well, we got to pray for Scott when he's here. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing him here. To the worship team, I just want to say thank you. It was a blessing. It's always a blessing, but it was a blessing at another level today. So thank you for that. Wow. The harvest is plentiful. We just read in Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I cannot begin to imagine the depth of that statement when it says he healed every. I can't grasp it. Can you? No, I can imagine. We just prayed for Scott and God, we pray that he's going to heal him. But every, that's strong. That's big. But not for God. That's right, baby. Not for God. So he goes around and he's an example to the disciples as to what they're called to do. The disciples who become the apostles become the example to you and me as to what we're supposed to do. We pray by faith. We pray that God would heal, restore, uplift, encourage, build up. We pray like that. And if we don't see the evidence, we trust that God is at work, healing things that are beyond our understanding, doing work that we don't even understand. He is at work. So what do? We pray by faith. We pray by faith. We pray, we speak, and we trust God for the results. Why? Because He is Lord. He is Lord of the harvest. We'll hear that in a little second here. But He is Lord. He is the healer. And if there is no healing, that's His business. We're called to go and pray. It sets me free. When we did the line here the other day, I prayed. I put my hand on people, 10 seconds. At first I spoke in the spirit, maybe. Lord, heal their infirmity, heal their disease. They'll tell you what it is, what's wrong. Boom, heal it in Jesus' name. Now get going. Got another person. Da-da-da-da-da. Why? Because it's not me that heals. God does it. And I pray that He helps each one of us to pray with increased faith. In Jesus' name. Verse 36 says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. We should see this today too. We should look outside of this room and realize that the people we come in contact with may be sheep without a shepherd. It should stir our hearts. You see what God's doing? He's ready to take His church to the next place. And the next place just so happens to be the old place, because the old place is where the apostles stepped out by the power of the Holy Spirit to do these great things. He's calling us today to do these great things. So we're called to go by faith, and we're called to see what He sees. And what He sees are sheep that are scattered. And He's speaking here primarily of the sheep of Israel. But He's not just about Israel. We're in the time of the church. And in the time of the church, it's about the Gentile. Yes, Jews are going to get saved during this time, but their time is coming again. Right now, our focus are the sheep that are scattered, those who will come. How do we know who they are? We don't. He does. And He says, go. Go. Look. See. Be alert. Pray. Where do you begin? I've always told you, you begin with your enemies. Good practice ground. They get mad at you. They already don't like you. Practice on them. Forgive them. Pray for them. Then go to your family. They think you're nuts. So you got nothing to lose. Your family thinks you're off your rocker. They're left in some other faith somewhere else. Pray with them. You got nothing to lose. They'll know your heart. Then where do you go? Then you go to your coworkers. And this is a scary thing, because you're going to step out of the place where you're just like them to the place where God has called you, which is the different place. He's called you to a higher place. He's called you to His place. Now you go to them and you tell them what you know. Are they going to receive it? They might, and they might not. We don't know. It's not our business. You're just supposed to tell it. And it's so cool how He's bringing the apostles, or the disciples at this time, to this place. Numbers 27:17 says, who may go out before them and go in before them? Who may lead them out and bring them in? That the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me. Oh, Gerald, you did such a great teaching last week on this particular scripture. It was really good. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, we thank you for that. That's where people are at. They don't even know that the yoke of Christ is easy. They don't even know the Christ that we love and serve. But they're lost and they're scattering, and he's sending us to them. It's on us. Does he need us? No. Does he desire to use us? Yes. Why? Because it's for us. Go. The people that are most blessed in the church are those that step outside of that place of safety and comfort, and they go to the place where God has called them to speak life to people. There is a blessing that's hard to explain. It's like on the inside kind of blessing. You know where all your pain dwells? Well, blessing dwells there when you go to that place and you do what he's called you to do. How many would say in this room, you'd say, you have spoken the truth of who God is to other people, not in church? Well, that's pretty good. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest victory is when you do that and you're rejected. And the reason why I say that is because you took a step of faith and God is growing you and he's growing me. What about the person that's lost? You tell them they didn't receive it. That's not your problem. That's God's problem. That's his issue. He is the Lord of the harvest. Who are we? We're the laborers called to go into the harvest. Amen? All right. I saw more hands go up than I heard amens. Just throwing that out there. Matthew 9:37 says, then he said to his disciples, what do I need to do, Justin? Should I raise it up higher? This could be catastrophic. How's that? Oh, that's a beautiful voice. No, it's still doing it. He said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Wow. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is grand. It's great. Remember, we know that in the end there's two roads. There's a narrow road, there's the wide road. The narrow road leads to life. Hallelujah. Amen. If you know who Christ is and you've sold your soul, gave your soul to him, you enter by the narrow gate. And it leads to everlasting life. The other road is wide and many take it. And the Bible says that it leads to destruction. What does that mean? That means we have opportunities all over the place to share with people. Some will not receive what you have. Others will grab onto it because of desperation. What does that mean? That means God knows what he's doing. He will allow people to go through incredibly difficult times. Why? Because that's when they're ready to hear. Your salvation is greater than anything that happens on this planet. My salvation is greater than anything that happens in my world or on this planet. If you go through some hurt, some scrapes, some pain, some problems, it's okay. It gets our attention. I'm the best lover of God when I'm going through trial and tribulation. I'm kind of about my own business when I'm on the mountaintop. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's just how we are as human beings. But trust Jesus in the harvest. Trust him when he tells you to go, and just go. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And the things that you think you're going to lose are not worth keeping. That's my opinion. You won't find that in Scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 10:1 says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. It's really funny. Just before, he healed all and every. He gives us the power to heal sickness, to heal disease, to heal. He gives us. But it's not necessarily all. Why doesn't that one say all? Because he's at work in them. He knows what's needed. We don't. We just have to be obedient to Christ. And what it's going to do, people, me, it sets us free. I am so free to pray. I don't have to articulate it and use all the right church words to pray for somebody. I am free to say what he gives me, and it's usually plain English. Dude, your arm's broken. Lord, heal his broken arm. Amen. Next person. Dude, you're limping. Lord, it's crooked. Fix it. In Jesus' name, amen. And he'll choose to heal some and others. Bert, your leg doesn't look like the other leg. So be it. Heal him. All right, he is. But he's going to do it in his way. What's Bert? Bert's a lover of Jesus Christ. Bert's full of the joy of the Lord. He went through one of the hardest things I've seen somebody go through, and he comes out smiling. I knew he went in smiling because they gave him some kind of medication when I was praying for him in the ambulance. It had to be some pretty good stuff because you were happy as could be. I think he was sharing Christ with everybody in the ambulance. But I have not seen that joy leave you. And that's a blessing. And Pat, you're just like a superstar. You have to deal with him. Glory be to God, right? In Jesus' name. Thank you. So God has equipped laborers for the task. This word covers the dispensations. It covers the early church. And what he does is he names 12 men to be apostles. First disciples. They're going to be students first. What does that mean for us? That means we are called to be students of God's word. Some people like to jump in and let the Holy Spirit do everything without understanding a lick of God's word. I don't believe that's the plan. It wasn't the plan for his disciples. The plan for his disciples was that they would learn of him. They weren't ready for some things yet. And you know what? It took them about 3 years to truly get it. It took 3 years and a move of the Holy Spirit for them to really get it. How long does it take you? Well, I don't know. How long have you been in the book? Talk to Pastor Donnie. His counsel to you is going to be, get in the book. Read it. Well, I read it, like 5 years ago. Read it again. Well, it only takes me about a year. I could do it in a year. Well, then read it the next year. Get in a life group. Why? They go through the scripture. They talk about it. They dig in. They find out about it. They're learning the word of God. I'm learning the word of God deeper than what I knew it before. Where was I going with this? I got on a little rant. Okay, well, you aren't supposed to hear the hard part, I guess. Thank you, Jesus. So he names the 12, and he grows them. It takes him about 3 years to do it. And what's interesting is Paul, who was out killing Christians, has an encounter with God, and after his encounter with God, he goes through blindness, he goes through all kinds of trial. Then God calls him out to Arabia, where he spends time with Christ for 3 years. Why? Because we have to study and know God's word. And this guy was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And he knew the Old Testament. He didn't know it in love, though. He knew it in law. So what about you? Growing God's word. We set things up here that you can grow in his word. Because we don't just move by the Holy Spirit. We move with the understanding, which comes from the word of God, which helps reveal what things are from the Spirit of God or the Spirit that wrestles against your soul. How can I discern? By knowing his word. That's what we're called to, all of us. And I get giddy as I grow. I sit in my life group and I hear things that I never thought of that. It's usually coming from a woman. Because the men pick all the same verses, I'm convinced. And it has a little grit and a lot of truth. A little grit to it, a little bit of, there's some testosterone in that word. Feels good. But every woman that shares, they pick the same verses too, and it has the heart of God in it. And then when you just marry those two together, it's pretty cool. You see more of the fullness of who God is. Get in his word. Get in a group where you study his word. If you can't do it on your own, you have to be in a group. Man, I am so early. I could yell at you some more. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 10:5 tells us God's plan. Just a little bit. He says, these 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So for these men on their first journey outside and apart from God, the training wheels came off and he sent them out there for true training. He says, go to the lost sheep of Israel first. Does that mean he doesn't love the Gentile, the Greek, or the Samaritans? No. It's to the Jew first. It's always been to the Jew first. The lost sheep of Israel. God is going after his chosen people, the ones he planned, the ones who brought about the opportunity for him to be birthed and for us to have redemption. That's the Jew first. And he sends them out there. And he says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is Paul speaking. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek," which is the Gentile. Anybody who is not a Jew is a Gentile. Romans 2:9 says, "Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also for the Greek." Oh, man. Now it's not so great to be a Jew, is it? "But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." It's not that he loves the Jew first. It's that he has a plan that he is working out. And his plan and his promise with Abraham goes to the Jew first. Abraham was the first Jew. Has he forgotten us? No. We are living in the age and in the day, the church age. From the time that Christ came to the time that he goes up to heaven and ascends into heaven, that is the church age. We're in it now. Actually, till he returns from heaven. He's up in heaven right now. And what's he doing? He's praying for Scott. He's praying for Bert. He's praying for Sally. He's praying for me. He's making intercession for us. That's what he's doing right now. But we are in this age. Who's the church age primarily for? The Greek, the Gentile, you and me. Are Jews getting saved during this time? They sure are. And it's glorious. But there's another dispensation coming, and it's when he comes back, and it's for the Jew. He's coming back for the Jew. And you know what? Gentiles get saved during that time too. Praise God. So he gives them this direction to go. And he says in verse 7, "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." He has given us this command. He gave it to the apostles first, but the trickle down to us is still prevalent. We are to pray like that. Well, that was just for... No, it wasn't just for. The apostles were disciples first, became apostles after they got the call to go. That's what an apostle is. It's a sent one. It's one called to go to different lands of unreached people groups. Well, I'm telling you right now, we are disciples because we're hearing God's word, we're studying his word, and he has called us to go. Just like he called them to go. To do what? To share the truth of who he is. Why? Because in our country, it's becoming an unreached people group. They haven't heard the gospel. They've shut it out. Whether it's from the school systems, whether it's from the media, things that go on in this world, it's been cut out. Whether it's from the liberal churches that don't want to speak the truth, it has been cut out. And we are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that they might be saved. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Then he sends them out like this, and I really am not a big fan of this because he might do it to us. He says, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts." In other words, go out broke. Not liking it. "Nor bag for your journey, nor tunics, nor sandals, nor..." I don't know what a starf is. Oh. I have a reading problem. "Or staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food." In other words, you go out empty. You go out without weapon. You go out without a second change of clothes. And you trust him the whole way. That's wow. Don't smuggle anything. He doesn't do well with smugglers. People who hide things from him. "Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out." So you find a place where there is a worthy person. Well, who's a worthy person? A worthy person is one who is open to hearing the gospel, or somebody who has heard it already from the work that Jesus has done up to this point. and they will take care of you. Why? When we take care of God's anointed, God blesses us with almost the same reward that they get. Isn't that cool? Why aren't we doing that? Because we're not very bright. No, that's not true. We are bright because we haven't read the scripture that speaks to this. How come? Because we're not in his book. In his word, he tells us what happens. This is true for today. And he goes on further. So when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. You come in, they're going to sense the spirit of, there's going to be a spirit of peace because you come in with peace. Do you know that you're contagious? When you're around people and the peace of God dwells in you, they can feel that peace and it has an effect. And when you leave, if they don't receive anything you say, clean the dust off your feet, head out, and the peace of God will come with you. And you know what they'll know? It's different now that he left or she left. Peace left this house when you left. Why did you leave? They weren't worthy. They didn't want to do. They didn't want to take care of you. They didn't want to support you. They didn't want to build you up. They didn't want to feed you. And it says in 14, whoever will not receive nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Oh, my goodness. What does that mean? You remember when Jonah went to Nineveh? The depravity of sin reached such a point that God said, I am going to destroy your nation in 40 days. But what happened? He sends a prophet, a reluctant prophet, to Nineveh and says, God is going to destroy your city in 40 days. That's all it took. And by the way, Jonah's heart was not in that message. He wanted to see him destroyed. God spares him for a whole generation. But what happens in a generation? We spiral into decline. We fall further and further away from God. I am old enough now to see a generation and a half in my lifetime, and I've seen it spiral, and I've seen it decline from what it used to be. And it's exacerbating. It's happening at a quicker and faster pace than ever before in my lifetime. The decline is, it is, like it says in the prophet Isaiah says, for when the enemy of the Lord comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Oh, Jesus, bring the standard. You're the standard. Your word is the standard. Bring the standard. Why? Because we feel that the enemy of the Lord is coming in like a flood. He's hitting us from every angle. You can't outwit the enemy and the move of the evil that is coming at us in this day. All you can do is rest in and trust in this precious word and walk in faith and say, God, you're bigger than all that. I cling to you. That's what we're called to do. And he loves those that are being washed away, and he wants them to hear the truth of who he is. And he wants us to be a part of it because it's joyful to be a part of what he's doing. Jesus' name. Tell somebody. That's for me. Got to tell someone. But then it talks about, in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. Oh, there's an enemy of our soul. We've been through this. But beware of men. In verse 17 it says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. So what's he telling us here? That when we go out, we don't go out ignorant. We go out wise as serpents. Once again, the best way to go out wise as serpents is to know God's word. It really is. And I know I'm beating this drum a little bit, but it needs to be beat. We have to know his word. It helps us to discern the things of God versus the things of this world. The things of truth versus the things of deception. When I know his word, I can discern it. When I'm praying for somebody, I can discern certain things that he reveals to me by the truth of his word, because his word says this. And I can pray in that way. If I come in just like, oh, God's going to take me through it. I don't know anything. I'm praying out of ignorance. Too much. And I have nothing to weigh what I'm hearing in my head concerning a person. Can God work through that person? Yes. Is that the way it's supposed to be? I don't think so. We should know what we're speaking because it helps us to discern what spirit we're dealing with. Okay. I'm going to just tell you about me. When I learned about the Holy Spirit, I was so excited. I was excited about the fact that I don't have to read tedious readings. That was years ago. That's how I thought. God forgive me. He did already. No. He's going to do things that I don't understand, but it's not because I'm not putting my time in. It's because it's beyond me. I need to be in His Word. And now when I do things, I discern differently. Because I'm so great? No. Because I'm in His Word. And He speaks to me truths all the time. He'll do that for you. And He won't take it past what you can handle. Get into His Word and He will work with you at the level that you're ready to handle. You will still impact people for the kingdom of God. Oh, we're doing good. Verse 19 says, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak." You know what I learned about that scripture? Don't worry about it. And most of the time, you're supposed to just shut up. Amen. This is me. I'm supposed to just shut up. I'm not supposed to say anything. I've said everything I needed to up to this point. Now I'm in trouble. Not in trouble with God, in trouble with the world. I might not have to say anything. I just might have to sit there and be righteous because He's in me. And then when it's time to speak, He will give you the words to speak. He does that up here all the time. You guys probably do know, but you don't know. He's speaking. Do you have ears to hear? That'll be next week's message. Do you have ears to hear? Do you want to hear what He's saying? What if I came in and told you all the hard things? Do you want to hear them? Yeah, I got 8 people that want to hear them. And they're going, yeah! And the other 92% are saying, whew, it's a little heavy. Do you have to go there? You know, you feel the resistance. He'll tell me. He'll tell you what to speak in that day. Because then it says, for it is not you who speaks when you speak. If you sit back, wait, listen, when He calls you to speak, it's not you at this point. It's Him. It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Personally, I am so good with that. I know me. And I know some of you. We're quick with the trigger. We want to say it right now because, oh, it's right there at the edge of our tongue. And He's saying, shutty. He's saying, I'm going to just wait. Just wait. And I'll say this. And it's beautiful and it's perfect. Well, I lose the anger. I want to be angry at somebody. I want to say something with all the gusto. No. Listen to what He wants you to share. Thank you, Jesus. I am good with that. And then I'm going to get into some really heavy things about the persecution that's going to come. And this is heavy. So I just want you to hear the whole thing through. But it says, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And then it says in 21, now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It's so hard. It's incredibly hard. And how could that would never happen to my family? Oh, yes, it will. This is almost a multi-tiered presentation. It's for the day of the days that it was spoken by the apostles, but through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles. But it's for this day, too, as we near the end of this age, the church age. It's for this day, too. And what's coming down the road after Christ takes His church home, it's going to happen big time. You will be turned in by family members for your faith in Christ. That's what's coming. Oh, that would never happen. How many things have you said over the course of your lifetime that you said that would never happen, and it's happening right before our eyes right now? There's a lot of them. And for me, it starts, I can go all the way back to seventh grade when I would run my mouth and the whole world was with me. And all of a sudden, the things I ran my mouth about are the norm. And God just revealed that to me. I think you all know what I'm saying. Jesus. And it can happen with people in your family. The fact that it can happen there is the most frightening thing to me, but it can. And you'll see as we go on a little bit further. So, verse 23 says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which we know as Satan or devil or whatever, how much more will they call those of his household? And Jesus says to us in his word, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. You might think that your family is going to be there for you in the end. The people that will be for you there in the end are going to be your brothers and sisters in Christ. I know this firsthand. I'm going to go in a different direction here. I shared my Here journal in our life group about this very thing. How could your parents disown you because of your faith? What I learned was, it's not so much disowning. There's a division that takes place in a family when you come to faith. And it's horrible at a level, but God is in it at another level. All right? So, I remember I was sitting here in this church, right about where you are, Natasha. Just wave your hands, just so everybody gets a picture. That Natasha, not that Natasha. No, I'm kidding. And I was sitting right there, and Pastor Jim, who was the pastor of our church for the veterans here, when he would preach, he'd have his black notebook in his hand. And that, you've heard me say this before, but he'd go and read the scripture, and he'd say, isn't that right, Gerald? Gerald say, yes. Gerald was sleeping, but he would say yes, because our Pastor Jim was a bit intimidating. Ain't that right? And he would go on, and he would just read scripture. And it was mostly scripture. I had an incident at work on this one particular Thursday night. And the incident at work was, I heard that a lady that I worked with, who I didn't care for, she was mean, she was nasty, and I was young and I was ignorant. And she would tell me everything I was doing wrong. So I didn't care for her. But she got a heart attack. And she was fighting for her life. And I remember being here after a couple years now of hearing Pastor Jim preach his word. And we were having worship at that time. And the worship was good. It wasn't what we had today, but it was good. Right? They sang scripture back in the day. And I remember as the worship was going, I broke. I broke like fine china, man. I just shattered. And the one thing I said I would never do is I would never do this. Too proud to do this. Well, this went up. The tears came down. I was broken over this lady I didn't care about. Why? Because the word of God I'd been sitting in for a couple years by this point was so saturated in me that the worship, it all just came to a place where he broke me. It was so precious and so beautiful. Why am I telling you this story? I mean it. Why am I telling you this story? What was it? Nah, that's a good story too. I gotta go back. I am so sorry. I love that story. It transformed my life. And from that point, I never looked back. God spoke to me because I'd been in the presence and immersed in his word. And he made me care for somebody I didn't care about because he was moving in that kind of way. That's still not what I wanted to tell you. About what? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I should have never gone off the script. Oh, my family. I was so excited that I had this encounter with God. And I was so moved by it that I went to tell my dad, the Roman Catholic dad, who was my hero in many ways. But I could see the faults and mistakes that he'd make. But he was faithful to his faith. He was faithful to his Catholicism. And I remember telling him, Dad, I had an encounter with God. I don't know if I used that word or not. I probably didn't. But I had this thing at church where I just felt God come over me, and I just received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He went off. He was hurt. He did not like it because it was not anything that had to do with the church that he was so fond of. And there was a wedge between my dad and I that day. How could that be? He was angry at me. Could have kicked me out of the house except for I was married already and out of the house. It was so difficult that I had to go back after a period of time and I could feel the resistance. Now that was with my dad. That wasn't with my mom. My mom just wanted things fixed. As I look back, she wasn't as holy as my dad. But she was a lot more godly. She wanted it fixed. She wanted it well. So I wrote him a 3-page love letter. And I went on to say, Dad, I did this because you raised... I'm going to get emotional. Because you raised me up to be a believer in Christ. And I had an encounter with him. 3 pages. And I've shared some of this before, but basically what my mom did was she gave him the letter, and I never heard from him about the letter. And I think I've shared this too. But that little 4-foot mother of mine, redhead, fire in her eyes, passion for her family, she said, oh, he read it. He cried like a baby. Yes. But what happened first? The division happened first. When you come to Christ, there will be divisions in your life. Your friends will discard you because you're weird. Your family might discard you because when the truth of God is presented, you become a rock of offense, a stumbling block to the non-believer. And that's what happened in my own family. And to this day, I've been coming to this church for about 40 years now, probably, give or take. To this day, my sisters tell me, oh, Michael, we pray for you every day. We just want you to know. Of course you do. Oh, Lord Jesus, please make Michael come back to the Catholic Church. That's what they pray. And what's the reality? They love me. But there was a division. And in time, those things get healed. But what I'm saying to you is do not let anything divide you from your faith. Be firm in your faith. Be firm in what God has called you to do. Right, Scott? We talked about that just a little earlier. That's what his dad told me. And his dad told me at it at his son's funeral. Don't cave. Stay strong in your faith. Don't do what seems appealing. Stay strong in your faith. But that's some of the persecution that they're talking about here. When you share your faith, you're going to be persecuted. But it's for a time. And it's for his purposes. And it's not about you. So we step out and we do this. If the worship team could come up, I'll see if I can pull this to a close here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go down to Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Don't worry about what man says to you or how they respond to you. Do what God has asked you to do. If you fear man, you become ineffective. If you fear God, you want to please God. You want to be obedient to him. And then he says, verse 32, therefore, which means because of all these things, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. There is great reward when you step outside of yourself, step through your fear, and speak life to those who don't know Christ. But then he goes on to say this. This is hard. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. One statement is so beautiful, and the next one right after it is so frightening. Matthew 7:22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Look what we have done for you, right? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The gifts that God give you come from him. They work through you. You're just to be obedient to deliver them, to operate in them. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what God wants to accomplish. He chose to use you, and that is your blessing. Let him use you. Let me be used by God. And I might be uncomfortable. It doesn't matter. I might get great praise for it. It doesn't matter. It's not about people being proud of me. It's not about me doing what I like or dislike. It is about him and what he wants to do in you. The lost belongs to him. We just have to be obedient. Does he need us? No. He chooses to use us. What a beautiful thing that he would choose to use us. The harvest belongs to the Lord. I prayed for that guy. He got saved. I'm something. You're something else. You prayed for that guy because you were obedient to God. And God granted the increase. God did the saving. You got to be a part of it. And so I go to the place, oh, God, thank you. I get excited when somebody gets saved. Thank you for using me. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Did we sing that song today? It's in there. It's just floating around. Who are you that you are mindful of me? That he would use us. Thank you, God. Let us be used by you and help our attitudes in that. Look at this. I got 8 pages left, and I'm going to say just a couple more things. I'm going to verse 34. Christ said he came to bring division, not peace. He came to bring division, starting with yourself, that he would separate and divide even the soul and the spirit within a human being. The soul is the essence of who you are. The spirit is how we communicate with God. He divides them. Why? Because they're not in one accord. My flesh is linked to my soul, but the spirit is how I talk to God. He'll get right to it. And he does that with people in your family, like I just said, with my story. But he'll do that with us and our stories with relationships with people. He came to divide. How do you know? I know that the moment I speak truth, the division begins to happen. Think about your families and your friends. You spoke truth. You got excited about what God did. You spoke the truth, and what happened? You began to flutter away. And when you mature in Christ, that's your sign. I did what I was supposed to do. That's why I said at the beginning, when you share the gospel with somebody and they reject it, that's a win because you stepped out in faith and did what God had called you to do. Last story. You guys can start playing really nice music so that they're affected by it, and then they get emotional and stuff. Now I forgot the story. Ah, got it. I was sitting in the cafeteria at West High School, and this was probably one of my last couple years working there, and I knew that I was going to become the pastor here. And I'm sitting with my friends, who all happen to be coaches, and that was our common thing. I'm with the coaches. And as I'm sitting there, a teacher comes running, and it was just like an unrealistic kind of a thing. It's not something that would normally happen. She comes running in, and where I am is I'm in the cafeteria at school because we had an in-service day, so we all as a faculty eat together. Unity. Okay, it's beautiful. And this teacher comes in frantic, and my kids have had her. She's a great teacher. And she starts freaking out and telling me of a diagnosis that she just got from the doctor, a phone call or something, that her doctor now has been diagnosed with schizophrenia, and she is just beside herself, hyper-emotional. And I'm sitting there at this table with all these coaches that I hung around with, which, by the way, what am I doing there? And when she said that to me, I dialed into what she was going through. And I prayed right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that that diagnosis be changed. That he would heal your daughter right now. That he would give you peace. That you would know that you could trust. And I'm giving her a prayer like we pray here. And I'm just praying. And I wasn't thinking about anything about this poor woman and her child. And then I finished the prayer. And I looked around and the looks that came at me at that table were unbelievable. And it was awkward and it was weird, but I felt like that was the win. Here, I don't know what happened with her daughter. I don't know the answer to the prayer, but God was at work in this. But what's happened since? Well, one of the coaches, Sally and I, support their daughter, who's a missionary. She just wants her dad to get saved. But we support her because she's in the college campuses sharing the gospel with people in college. Another one comes up to my room on a regular, I'm not there anymore, but came up all the time because he got diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he didn't handle it well. And he'd be at my room, he'd say, hey, every 3 months I'd hear from him, I got another appointment, if you could just talk to the big guy for me. I said, Mike, you can talk to the big guy. He kind of loved to hear from you, but I will. So I pray for him right there in the hall because I'm not gonna let it be easy for him. You know? So I pray for Mike. I pray right now in Jesus' name that first he give you a peace that passes all understanding, peace that goes beyond your fear. I pray that God would heal your body. And then he'd be crying, he'd thank me, he'd quickly scamper before the bell rang and anybody could see him. So that's happened. Another one just happened, I think it was last summer. He said, hey, our son wants to get married, and he's a Lutheran, and she's a Catholic, and nobody will marry him. I said, sure, but I'm going to take him through premarital counseling. And so the other one asked me if to do the wedding. And by the way, Amy and Matt, you guys know this, when you do the premarital counseling, you get to the reality of who Christ is. You talk about real things. So I said, so yeah, I'm happy to, but we're going to go through counseling. And we get to share the gospel with them. Almost to a man at that table, God took me to another connection with them. How cool is that? It is just unreal. He was at work. And believe me, I felt weird and awkward when I got done praying. I looked up and I saw him around me. You feel those things, right? But God is in it. It's great. Step into the midst of what he wants to do through you. And you will have impact on people's lives, whether they want it or not. Here's my heart. I'm not going to call anybody up here. You can come up here if you want for worship. There's going to be a prayer team up here. Come up and see them. But if you don't know this Christ who will take you to the scary place, but he'll be in it with you. If you don't know this Christ who wants nothing more than to have your soul belong to him so he can bless it for all eternity, that you would be with him. If you don't have that and you want that, you just make that decision right where you're sitting right now. We're going to close in worship. If you did make that decision to say, I want that, come up and talk to the people that pray. They love hearing that. They'll be blessed by hearing your story that you just received Jesus. And then as you go home tonight, this is for everybody in this room. I want you to think of Scott Jordan. Pray for him when you're at home tonight. Most of you have been. But if you don't know him, that's okay. Pray for Scott Jordan. Can't remember that name, then that's your problem. Pray for Scott that full healing would come to his body, that God would do what he plans to do. Scott, there's so many praying for you because you are loved, man. And your wife is quite amazing. She loves you like incredibly. Pray for her. Dawn, pray for Scott and Dawn in Jesus' name.